Today's Shir is Masechta Shabbos, Daf Chav Ches. We will begin on Daf Chav Zayin Amud Beis at the Mishnah at the bottom of the Amud. Says the Mishnah, Kol HaYotze Min HaEitz, anything that comes out of the tree, Eimad Likimba, should not be used for a wick on Shabbos, because it doesn't burn well, and therefore, as we started this perek, there's always the concern of Shemayata, that you're going to tilt the candle. There's always the concern, as we discussed at the beginning of the perek, that you want to be sitting. There's such an important issue, as we've very actually discovered in learning this perek, of sitting by the Shabbos candles with Tiznach Misholem Nafshi. Shabbos candles represent Shalom Bayis. Shabbos candles represent Kavod Shabbos. Shabbos candles represent Oinik Shabbos. So we want to have a candle that burns well. The only material that can be used that comes from a tree is pishdon, is linen. So Rashi says that when the Mishnah says kol hayotze min ha'etz ein madlikin bo, he says it means cotton and canvas. Tosfos asks that how could cotton be called hayotze min ha'etz? He says cotton is not yotze min ha'etz. It's a seed, and actually he says that even canvas is not considered yotze min ha'etz. It's also considered a seed. And therefore, Tosfos disagrees in Rashi and says that you could use cotton as a wick for lighting Shabbos candles. And what Yotze Min HaEitz is meant in our Mishnah is something that we discussed at the beginning of the Perek. There was such a material between the bark of the tree and the tree itself. And that's what the Mishnah means when it says, Kol HaYotze Min HaEitz Eimad Likimba. The Torah quotes the opinion of Tosfos that says that you could use canvas for a wick, but the Darkei Moshe says the linen is preferable, and the Mishnah Berurah says that one should try to avoid using canvas for a wick. It doesn't speak about cotton. It seems the cotton would be okay. We know that the Torah says that anything that's under the same oil as a mace becomes tumas oil. The tumah that is very well known and we spoke about many times. But the Torah says that under certain circumstances, the oil itself, which is over the mace, becomes tumah. The Torah says, V'hizo ala oil v'akol al kelim v'al nefoshes ashoho yisham. So the Torah is teaching us that the oil itself becomes tamei and requires pre-purification. Now the question is, which type of oil does this halacha apply to? Says the Mishnah, kol hayotze min ha'etz, if oil was made out of something that comes from the tree and it was connected to the ground, einam etam etumas oilum, the halacha that oil itself becomes tamei doesn't apply, the pasuk that we just read. Ella pishtan, the only exception is linen. That if you made from linen this oil that the mace was under, then the oil itself has to become, you have to metar the oil itself. Of course, as Rashi explains, a house which is connected to the ground certainly doesn't become tamei. Because the halacha is that anything that's mechuba legarka is not mekabel tuma. Here we're talking about an oil is a tent, which was not mechuba legarka originally, and then you were mechabrit legarka, and that's why when with the right conditions that we just discussed, the halacha is that it's mekabel tuma, and the Mishnah said that we're talking about something made out of linen. Ask the Gemara, Menolan the Pishtan it creates. So the first question the Gemara poses is that our Gemara is assuming that a Pishtan, that linen, is considered a wood. Isn't Pishtan, asked the Gemara, a seed? Answers the Gemara, Am Mazutrid Amakra. The Pasuk says that when Yeshua sent Miraglim to investigate Eretz Yisrael, that says that they were hidden in the home of Rachav. And Rachav, being concerned that they're going to get caught, says the Pasuk, V'hi halosam agaga, she took him up to the roof, V'tit minayim b'pishtei oetz, and she hid them on the bundles of linen. And the linen is called eitz. So from here we see that eight, that pishtim is considered eitz. So we learned in the Mishnah, as we just discussed, V'ayotz min eitz eitz matam tumas oilim ela pishtan. Ask the Gemara Amr Belozer, where do we notice halacha? Says Gemara, Gomar, we learn Xer Shava oil, oil mi Mishkan. We learn it from the Mishkan. Ksiv Hacha, regarding the din of the Tumas oil, Zois, the Pasuk says, Zois HaTorah, Adam Kiyamas Ba'oil. The Ksiv Hasam, regarding the erection of the base of the Mishkan, the Pasuk says, Vayifres is Ha'oil Al HaMishkan. So we see the word oil by the Mishkan, and we see the word oil by this Halacha of Tumas oil. Mala Halan, just like when we speak about the Mishkan, shall pishtun kali oil, a covering made out of pishtun is called an oil, because there were no other materials made out of wood that were used to cover the Mishkan other than linen. Afkan, so too, oil must be shall pishtun, only something made out of pishtun is curry oil. The Mishkan, we know, had a number of coverings. The lowest covering of the Mishkan were made out of material of linen and wool of tchelis, agam, and talashani. Above it was a covering made out of goat skin. And on top of it, there was a cover that was made out of iris elim udomim, the skin of ram that's made red, and Iris Tchoshim, and we're going to have a machloikus later in the shir, if they were two separate coverings, the Iris Elim Adomim and the Iris Tchoshim, or if it was one cover, half Iris Elim and half Iris Tchoshim. So we see from here that the only material that's made out of wood in that's called an oil is something made out of pishtan. Everything else that was used as a oil in the Mishkan was made out of animal skin or the like. E malahalan, says the Gemara, if we're using the oil that the Torah uses, the word oil, in the erection of the base of the Mishkan, malahalan, so we should have all of the same qualification. The halacha is that the linen that was used to make the covering of the Mishkan was shezurim. It was made out of twisted thread. The chutin kofel shisha. Each thread was made out of six strands. Afkan, so we want to say that a pishtan oil is considered an oil, it should be a pishtan, which is shizurim, the chutin kofel shmaina. Tamaloymer, since the Torah says in the parish of Thomas Mace, oil, oil, the Torah, it says the word oil many times. Riba, the commentator teach us that even if it doesn't have all of these characteristics, it's still considered an oil for Tumas Ames. Says the Gemara, E, oil, oil, Riba. So if we're saying that the fact that the Torah uses the word oil so many times regarding the parish of Tumas Ames is an indication that we don't have to have all of these conditions, afkamilinami, then we should say that any material that's used to cover the Mishkan should be, any material that's oil should have this Tumas oil, says the Gemara. But in Cain, Xerishava, we started the top of the Amid with Xerishava oil, oil, manhanile. So what the Gemara is saying is, we have a tension. On one hand, it says oil, oil, that we learn from the Mishkan, that it has to have the characteristics of what it looked like in the Mishkan, which means pishtan. On the other hand, it says oil many times, so that's how we come out to this happy medium, that it has to be pishtan, but now with all of the same characteristics of the pishkan that was used in the Mishkan. Veimo, asked the Gemara, Malahalan, when it came to the Mishkan, the krushim, the wood, was used as the were used as the wall of the Mishkan. So Afkan, so by Tumas oil, we crush him. If you have an oil made out of wood, it should also be considered an oil. Answers the Gemara, Amakra, The pasuk says regarding the krushim, for asisa krushim lemishkan. It means mishkan kari mishkan. What is called the mishkan? The covering on the mishkan is called the mishkan. Then krushim kri mishkan. The walls are not called the mishkan, and only what's called the mishkan, which is the oil, which is the covering, is considered an oil. The walls are made lim mishkan, but they're not the actual mishkan. Says the Gemara, elami ato, since we said that since the Torah uses the words krushim lemishkan, we're explaining that the krushim themselves are not the actual mishkan. So ask the Gemara, when the Torah speaks about the covering of the mishkan, the Torah says vasisa michsel oil. So shouldn't we say, hachinami, based on our explanation, shouldn't we say, michse lo yikra, that the michse ha'oiris are not called oil, because they're not, it says michse loyal. Elohadabai Rabbi Lazar. We asked, Rabbi Lazar is going to ask a question, which we're going to discuss in a moment. Or behemoth tameya, the skin of a non-kosher animal, ma'ash yitame ba'oil ha'meis, does the din of oil ha'meis apply to such skin? Now, if we're saying that since the Torah, when it speaks about the covering made out of iris, uses the word michsel oil, which is an indication that it itself is not the oil, so now the question is going to be as follows. Hashta, or behemoth tahira, if the or of a behemoth tahira, we're saying, is not subject to tumas oil, because the Torah calls it michsel oil, so why would he ask a question? Or behemoth tamei mebaya? Or behemoth tamei is a lot less of an issue than or behemoth tahira. In fact, the whole question that we're going to learn in the Gemara about or behemoth tamei is only because the question is, how do we look at the tachash, which was the material that was used for the oil of the Mishkan? Is it a kosher animal? Is it not a kosher animal? But it's clear that if we knew that it wasn't a kosher animal, that if we knew it was a kosher animal, it would certainly be an oil. But why? It Tyrus says regarding it, michsel oil. Answers the Gemara Shani Hassam. You can't ask me a question from the covering of the iris. The hada ahadre kro, the pasuk itself calls it an oil. The ksiv, the nosus yuris hamishkan, this oil moid, michseyu, michsei tachshish olav. Yuris hamishkan is the lowest covering of the Mishkan, what we spoke about earlier in the shir, the covering that's made out of the wool and linen. Oil mayid are the urias ha'izim, and mechsei mechsa tachshash is the cover on top of it. And the pasuk here, makish elyon latachton, the Torah connects all of these different coverings into one covering. Makish alien into one category. Makish alien latachtan. The Torah compares the upper coverings, the coverings made out of animal hides, with the lower coverings. Matachtan. So just like we say that the lower coverings, the Torah explicitly calls them an oil. So from here we'll say also that the alien is also kari oil. So that's how we know that anything that was used for a covering is a candidate to be considered an oil. Gufa, says the Gemara. Gufa, as we just said, the Rebbe Lazar asks a question. By Rebbe Lazar, or behemoth tameya, mashi tama be tumas oilim. Are they subject to the din of tumas oilim? Ask the Gemara, makame boile, what is his question? Answers the Gemara, because the oilim are certainly a kosher type of animal. Certainly, the izim were a kosher type of animal. The question is, Amar Avad Bar Hava Tachash, as we said earlier in our shir, that they used the skin of the Tachash to cover the Mishkan. And the question is, the Tachash Shehoi B'mei Moshe, the Tachash that existed in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, Kumabayilei, was it Tamei Haya? Was it a kosher, a non-kosher animal, or Tar Haya, or a kosher animal? So I once saw a very powerful vort from the Satmar Rebbe. The Gemara's question is, was the tachash that was used by Moshe Rabbeinu a kosher animal or a non-kosher animal? So Satmar Rebbe asked, we're talking about building the Mishkan. So if I have a choice to say it was a kosher animal or a non-kosher animal, why would I think that it was a non-kosher animal that we're going to have a discussion what it was? So Satmar Rebbe answered, as we're going to learn in our Gemara, the Targum says, what is the definition of the word tachas? Saskuna. And Rashi quotes this Targum in Chumash. Sheishlei harbei gavnim. It has many stripes, many different colors. Umespar begavnish shalai. That's why the Satmar Rebbe said there was a question. Something that has many different stripes. Something that isn't consistent. Something that's mispar. Something that's so proud of its different stripes. That isn't the characteristic of something that's tohor. And therefore, the Gemara is suggesting maybe we should not consider the tachash a kosher animal. Amar Rabbi Yosef asked the Gemara, "My tibayle, what's the question? Tanina, haven't we learned in a brisa the lahuch shalamechus shalmayim, the only type of material that can be used for anything that involves a dvar mitzvah is el arba hematayr bulvad? So how can we suggest that the tachash is not a kosher animal?" Masav Rav Abba asks Rav Abba from a brisa, how could you say that the tachash is a mintar? The pasuk says, as we quoted earlier, "Vasisa michsel oil oris el medomim amarech se or tachashim el mala." And there's a machlokes how to understand this pasuk. Rav Yudai Mishnei michsas haya. There were two coverings. Achad shel oris el medomim, ve'achad shel oris tachashim. One was from the red ram hides, and one was from the Iris Tchashim. Nechemi disagrees, and he holds Michsa Echer Hoya. It was really just one covering. Half of it was Iris El Medomim, and half of it was Iris Tchashim. The Daima, and the Tachash looked like the Tle Elon. Now, the Tle Elon is a non kosher animal. So we see that the tachesh, but tle elon, tamehu. So isn't this clearly an indication that it's a non-kosher animal? Says Mar Hachi Kamar, says the Gemara, because as the Chasam Sofer explains the Gemara's question, if the tachesh was a kosher animal, would the Braisa compare a kosher animal to a non-kosher animal? Says the Gemara, Hachi Kamar, k'min tle elon hava. What the Bryce is not coming to teach us is that it's a non-kosher animal. The Bryce is looking for where can we find such a model? Where can we find such an example of an animal that has many colors? And the only animal that we're able to find that's hide has all these different colors is the Tle Elon. So when we're comparing the Tachash to Tle Elon, explains the Chasam Sofer, the Gemara's Teretz, is not to say that the Tachash is a non-kosher animal. It's to say that it has the same characteristics as this non-kosher Tle Elon animal has, but it isn't non-kosher. Hachkama, Tle Elon hu, sheyesh bei gvanim harba, but it's not loy Tle Elon. Dila hasam tamei, the Tle Elon is a non-kosher animal, for hacha, and the tachash min tar haya. Amar Rabbi Yosef, says the Mar Ihachi, if what Rabbi Nechemi is coming to do is just to compare the tachash to Tle Elon to tell us that it has many different colors, hainu to targuminen, that's why we could understand when the pasuk says the word tachash, it says siskana. Why? Sheshos begvonim harbei. So the Chasam Sofer explains this as well. If the tachash was a Tle Elon, beautiful pshat from the Chasam Sofer. If the tachash was a Tle Elon, so when the Targum came to explain the word Tle Elon, explain the word tachash, it should have said Tle Elon. It would be the easiest way for us to understand what is the tachash. But that's not what the Targum does. When the Targum defines tachash, it says, as we said earlier in our shiur as well, siskana. Why didn't it say Tle Elon? Because the Targum wants us to know that tachash is not Tle Elon, because Tle Elon is not kosher and tachash is kosher. So now we've determined that the tachash is a min tahor. What about the halacha of a non-kosher hide can be an oil or not? Rav Amar or behemoth tmeya, the metaba oil mace, he holds the or behemoth tmeya is metaba oil mace, and he learns it mihacha. The Tanya, the pasuk says regarding a subject that we've discussed extensively in our shiurim regarding a beged that has tumas saraz. The Torah says, or the Torah says that a beged made out of animal leather is mekabel tumas nagoim. Reba, then the Torah says oy ba'or. Reba, what is the Torah teaching us with that? Or behemet tameya, that the skin of a non-kosher animal also has tumas nagoim. Another halacha that it teaches us, v'shalaka biyat kain, which means that somebody brought a beged to a kohen for an examination, and that issue that caused you to bring the beged for the kohen to examination, the kohen sees that isn't an issue. But while the beged is by the kohen, a nega develops. The halach is that beged could become tamei. Katzis mekulon, if you take the various materials that are listed in the pasuk, semer, pishtan, and or, vos achs mehen, and you make out of these various materials one garment, menayin, how do we know that they're subject to tumas nagoim, tamalim obachom lechas or. So we learn from this pasuk, we learn from oy b'or, asked Ritva, two halachas. We're learning that or behemet tameya is subject to tumas nagoyim, and we also learned that if it became tamei while it's actually sitting in the kohen's hands for examination, it's also tamei. So how could, asked Ritva, could we learn two different halachas from one halacha? So Ritva says that since both halachas are equally understood from this pasuk, so Ritva says, and we have this klal more than once in Shas, that whenever you have two halachas that are equally can be determined from the same pasuk, and there's no indication that one of the limudim is stronger than the other limud, we learn both limudim. Ask the Gemara, vikel mifrach, but we could ask a question. Mal in the goyim, so we're saying, so just like we see that or behemet tameya has tumas nagoim, so too it will also have tumas oil. But ask the Gemara, how could you learn from nagoim to tumas oil? When we spoke about tumas nagoim in our earlier shiurim, we learned that the tumas nagoim has a special chumra shekein shisi ve'eritam behem. Even the threads of the begadim become of wool and linen become tamei. So it has that very serious halacha. How could that be this model for other halachas? Says the Gemara, El Gama Mishrotzim. We learn it from Shrotzim, the Tanya, as we've been also learning regarding Shrotzim. The Pasuk says, V'chol ha-shi'ipa mehem ola, V'chol ha-shi'ipa ola mehem b'moysim yitma, V'chol kli eitz oi begar oi or sak, or en li ola or behemet tahira. I would only know the halacha is regarding the or of behemet tahira is subject to Tumas Shrotzim. Or behemet tamei minayin, tamaloyma Or the extra R teaches us that I have a beged made out of non-kosher skin. It's also mekabel tumas shrotzim. Says the Gemara b'rikel mifrach ma l'shrotzim. You can't learn from shrotzim to oil because shrotzim has that very famous chumra shekem a katamim bekadasha, that even the size of an adasha, which is gives off tumas shrotzim, whereas tumas mace has to have a kazayis. Says the Gemara, we're going to learn with a tzaddish shava. The way we're going to learn is as follows: Nagoyim yichichu, because Nagoyim, there isn't that halacha. It requires a gris, and the halacha is that still or behemet tamei is tamei. V'chaza yidein, and then we go back and forth. Loi rigizeh kloi kizeh, each one Nagoyim on its own, shrotzim on its own, have a chumra versus oil. However, had sat a shav behem, what is the common denominator, or tome behem, that even if it's made out of or tome, the makabel, the different types of tome, tome snagoyim, tome shrotzim, so that or behem tomeya is treated, the skin of a non-kosher animal is treated like the skin of a kosher animal, afani ovi oil amace, so too will I tell you regarding the oil amace, shor tome be, that the or is tome, v'nasimba or tomeim tomeya, kar behem tomeya. Omalei Rav Barnash. So Rav Barnash says, I still can't buy into your limud. Ikla mefrach. Malat sarav shebehem. Yes, they each have the halacha that or behem tamei is tamei. But by both of them, there's tuma by pachs mikazayis. By shrotzim, it's a adasha. By negoyim, it's a gris. By mace, the time of a mace, shenematama el b'kazayis. So therefore, I will say that just like a mace requires a kazayis, which is larger than a gris or a adasha, so too, our behemah tameya will not be tamei. So we're back to where we started. How do we know that this tumas oilim by our behemah tameya? El amar rava barnash, asya b'kavachayma menoitza shalizim. The way we know it is because we learn an gzeirah shava from the halacha of material made out of plucked goat's hair. Shema tam ben negoyim, because such hair is not metama tumas negoyim, because we learned only tzemer upishtin, our previous shiurim, teach us that only tzemer upishtin have tumas negoyim, but still metam tumas oil mace applies to it, because as we mentioned earlier in our shiur, the cover of the Mishkan was made out of Urias Izim, and as we also spoke about earlier in our shiur, since it was made out of Urias Izim, that anything that was used for the oil of the Mishkan clearly is subject to Tumas oil, because the Torah calls that an oil, and we had the Gzeir Shava oil, between the oil which is stated by the Mishkan and the oil that's stated by Tumas oil, or Behemet Tameya, Shemetam ben Negoyim, when we speak about the Halach of Negoyim, that it does apply to the skin of plucked goats, and Adin, Metamo oil amace. So what the Gemara is saying is that if it has Tumas Negoyim, then it certainly has Tumas oil amace. Ella, asked the Gemara, we learned in the Braisa on Amud Aleph that only our Behemet Tahira can be used for Melech Shemayim. And we therefore explained that the tachash was a kosher animal. And that's why we wanted to say that only an or behemah tahira is metamah tumas oil. But now that Rava taught us that an or behemah tameya also has tumas oil, so what did the Braisa come to teach us? Because as the Rishonim explained this Gemara, we can't say that the Braisa is coming to teach us that the tachash was a kosher animal, because that's not relevant la halacha lemaisa for future generations. Because as we're going to learn, the tachash was a one-time appearance. So the braisa can't be coming to teach us a halach. The braisa come to teach us halacha lemaisa. So if the braisa was coming to teach us that our behemah tameya has tumas oil because the tachash is a tamidiga animal, that would be a very important halacha. But Nana, that's not what the Braisa is teaching us. Al Hada Tani Rabbi Yosef, when Rabbi Yosef taught us in the Braisa, the Lehuch Shalomech Shemayim, El Or Behemet Tahir Bilvad, Lemay Helchasa. What is the halacha that we're going to learn from that? Answers the Gemara, to teach us the halacha of tefillin, that the tefillin have to be made from the hide of a kosher animal. And when we speak it has to be the hide of a kosher animal, it doesn't mean that it can't be, that it has to be kosher, that it was slaughtered and found to be a kosher animal. It has to be, even if it's an avela or a trefa, but it has to be an animal which is a kosher species. Ask the Gemara, tefillin, behedik sabuhu. Regarding the halacha of tefillin, the Torah is explicit that it has to be made out of something, that the tefillin have to be made out of the hide of a kosher animal. Because the pasuk says, And we learn from there that only something that you may eat can be used to make the tefillin. Only a kosher animal. Ella has come to teach us that the boxes, not just that the parchment on which the tefillin are written has to be from a kosher animal, that the boxes have to be made out of a kosher animal. Says the Gemara, we don't need a special limit for that. Vam Rabaya, the shin shel tefillin, we know that on the two sides of the tefillin shel Rosh, there's shin, and that's a halach l'moshe m'Sinai. So that's words that are written. And since they're words that are written, we're saying that all written words have to be written on kosher hide. Ella, says the Gemara, it's come to teach us l'karchan b'saran. The halach is that you have to wrap the tefillin parchments with their own hair, from hair of kosher animals from which they may be made, and you sew the box, and you sew the boxes together with the sinews of kosher animals. That's what I need this to teach us. El karchem besaron and el tafrim begidin. Says the Gemara, Hanami, that din, that's how the tefillin should be constructed, is a halach l'moshe m'Sinai. The Tanya, tefillin merubos, halach l'moshe m'Sinai. Nichrachos besaron and etbaros beginon. Says the Gemara, el ritzus. Before we go further, Rabbi Kiva Eger on the side of the Gemara here in the Gilyon HaShas asks a question. The Gemara says that maybe the halacha lehuchshul mechashemayim ella or behemet tayr blavad is coming to teach us that it's for the bias. To which a bias said, the bias has the shin on it, and since the bias has the shin on it, of course it has to be written on kosher hide. So Rabbi Kivega says that's only the bias of the tefillin shel Rosh, but how would know the tefillin shel Yad? And therefore, maybe that's what I need this to teach us. So the Sfas Emes answers that the tefillin shel Rosh and the tefillin shel Yad travel together. So if it's obvious to the Gemara at this point that the tefillin shel Rosh have to be min amut beficha, then it would be obvious that that's what would be the halach by the tefillin shel Yad as well, and we need a different, and that's not what this is coming to teach us. So where are we up to? The Brice is coming to teach us that the ritzuas of the tefillin have to be made out of kosher hide. Says the Gemara, Vam Rabbi Yitzchak, then Rabbi Yitzchak teaches that ritzuas shchayrus, that the straps have to be black, is halach l'moshe m'Sinai. And so therefore, isn't it make sense to say that just like they were taught that they have to be black, they also were taught that they have to be made out of kosher hide? Says the Gemara, not necessarily. Nay, the Gemiri Shchayris, it could be that indeed we learned that they have to be black from Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai. Tahiris mi Gemiri, where does that mean that in the Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai that also includes that it has to be made out of kosher hides? That isn't part of the halach l'moshe m'Sinai, and that's what the Braisa had to come teach us is the limud. So the great Agra explains this shakl v'tayir regarding the ritzuas. He says the havamina was that once we learned that there's a halacha of ritzuas and that the halachas have to be black, we assume that it's expanded, all the halachas of tefillin apply to it. But now teaches us the Gemara, that when it comes to halach l'moshe m'Sinai, we can make logical extrapolations. And what was said by the halach l'moshe m'Sinai was said, and what wasn't said by the halach l'moshe m'Sinai wasn't said. And therefore we can't connect it, we can't say that this halach applies to the ritzuas, if not for what we learned in the Braisa. So, according to the Maskana, when we said earlier, when the Braisa said, Lehuchshul Machashmaim, Ella or Behemetar Bavad, it's referring to ritzuas tefillin. And therefore, we have no clear indication from that Braisa if the Tachash that was in the time of the Mishkan, a kosher or non-kosher animal. So the Gemara wants to know, my hava, so what is the halacha? My hava la the tachashai b'mei maisha. What is the status of that tachash? Was it a kosher animal or not? Says the Gemara, Amr b'loy, Amr b'shim ben lokish, Ayma hayi remeya, tachashai b'mei maisha, beri b'fnei atzmahaya. It was a unique creature. V'loy chriya b'chachamim, and the chachamim weren't able to determine imen chayihu imen behemahu, if it was a chayu or a behemah, the Karen achas hoysla b'mechtschay, and had only one horn in its forehead. Ufish shod nizdam loy l'moisha. It appeared once for Moshe Rabbeinu. Vosim emenu mishkan. Moshe Rabbeinu made the mishkan from it. The nignas, and then it was hidden away, not to be seen again. Mid the kamar, so the Gemara wants to make the point. Since Ramey said, Karen achas hoysla b'mitzcha, it only had one horn on its forehead. Shma mina tar haya. It must be that it was a kosher animal, because only kosher animals have horns. Damar of Yehuda, and where do we see that kosher animals are the animal with a horn? Shar shikr of Adam Arishin. Adam Arishin brought a carbon shar. The Gemara Masechta Avodah Zarah Daf Ches Amud Aleph says that we know that Adam Arishin was created on Friday afternoon, actually. And then when Friday night came and the world got dark, so Adam Arishin thought that the world is over because of the aveira that he did in eating from the Eitz Hadas. So Adam Arishin declared, Oili, shebishvil shesarachti, because I did this horrible aveira, Oilom choshech ba'adi, the world became dark. V'yachsa oilom l'toy v'voyu, and the world would go back to nothing. V'zui misish niknus olam neshmaim, and he thought this was the punishment he was receiving for eating the Eitz Hadas. And he was sitting and crying that entire Friday night. And the Gemara says, and Chava was crying as well. When the sun came up in the morning, so he recognized that this is the way the world works. The sun goes up and the sun goes down. And that's when Omad v'hikrush shor. There are other opinions, however, say that Adam Rishon brought that carbon as a kapara for his aveira of eating the Eitz Hadas. And the pasuk says regarding that carbon, the shenema v'stita l'ashem mishor par makrin mafris. It has a horn and it has hooves. So we see that even an animal with one horn is a kosher animal, because otherwise it could not have been brought as a carbon. Makrin asked the Gemara, makrin tarti mashma. So it has two horns. So how are we bringing a raya from that animal that had two horns to the tachash that has only one horn? Answers the Gemara, Amar of Nachman by Yitzchak, mikeren ksiv. The pasuk says the word keren, and keren means only one horn. V'lifshet minoi. So if we're saying that the fact that it has one horn is similar to the animal that Adam brought, and therefore it was a kosher animal, so we should also have a raya that it's a min behema, because as the halacha is, you can only use behema for carbon, you can't use a chaya for carbon. Answers the Gemara, Kim de Ikka, since there is a type of a chaya, which is a keresh, which is a type of a deer, and a deer we know is a chaya, the min chayahu, v'lesle alecha de karen, and also is an animal with one horn, iklamemer, we could say maybe that the tachash min chayahaya. So the Gemara hasn't defined clearly what is the tachash. One thing the Gemara did say is that the tachash was a one-time animal. So it's very interesting. The Reb Chaim Knievsky in the Sefer Tamid Akra says, when we look in the Pasuk says, it spells the word oiros with two vavs. When it says, michse oiros atchashim, it's only spelled ayin reish sof. It don't know extra vavs. Says Reb Chaim Knievsky, why? Because the iris of the tachash were there only temporarily. So that's why the iris there are spelled without the extra vav. The iris of the Eilim HaMudamim obviously are animals that are there permanent, that are here forever. That's why they're spelled mole with two vavs. So we just learned the sugya of Leman Toya Teres Hashem Beficha, that the halacha is that Lehuchshu Lemlecha Shmayim El Or Behemet Tahara Bilvad. The Ramah, quoting Aran in Masechta Rosh Hashanah, says that this is the rule regarding the shofar as well, that only the horns of a kosher animal may be used for a shofar, because a shofar also has to be taken min ha-mutter beficha. The Magen Avraham says that all mitzvahs are learned from tefillin, that just like tefillin have to be made from kosher materials, and the way we learned in today's shir, it applies to every part of the tefillin, so too is the halacha regarding all mitzvahs. Says the Beis Shloimeh, that he asks if somebody could use wicks or oil for Chanukah menorah from something, from fats of a non-kosher animal. So he wants to say that not everybody agrees with the Magen Avraham, that our Gemara spoke about tefillin, but it doesn't necessarily apply to all the other mitzvahs. So if there's no option, you could use non-kosher oil for your Chanukah menorah. The Beis Yitzchak says that even the Magen Avraham would agree that you could use non-kosher oil for the Chanukah menorah, because he quotes a Tosfos in Masechta Sota, who quotes the opinion of Reb Shimon in the Yerushalmi, who says that you're allowed to write the Sota scroll on the parchment of a non-kosher animal, since it's nitna l'mechika, it's going to be erased. So we see from here, says the Beis Yitzchak, that when is there an inyan that you can't use a non-kosher material? That's only something that's going to remain permanent, like tefillin. But something that's going to get burnt, like the oil of a Chanukah lamp, since it's going to get burnt, the halacha that it has to be from a kosher material does not apply. Also, we see here that the tachash, which played a very prominent role in the building of the Mishkan, had only one horn, which is not common for an animal. So I saw that the Sefer Divrei Yecheskel Shraga says, why was this animal created in this interesting and unique manner that only had one horn? So he wants to explain that the entire purpose of the building of the Mishkan was for us to recognize that there's only one Hashem. They made the eagle. They worshipped Avodah Zarah, and they built the Mishkan to show that we now believe that there's only one Hashem. So even the animal, the tachash that they used to build the Mishkan, has only one horn, completely devoted only one Hashem. Says the Mishnah, Psilas HaBeged, a wick made out of a garment, Shekipla V'lehivava. You folded it, but you didn't singe it yet. That's how they usually made the wicks. They singed it because then it would be easier to light. It's mekabel tuma, ve'ein medlikim ba, and you may not use it for Shabbos wick on Shabbos lamp. Rabbi Kiva im tahirihi, it's not yet. It's not mekabel tuma or medlikim ba. Says the Gemara, bishlam linyan tumuya b'ha pliga. What's the machlokes? Rabbi Leza saw a kipel enem oil, just folding it into the wick doesn't make it that it should not have the status of a beged anymore, and therefore it's still subject to Kabbalah's Tumah. Just because I folded it doesn't mean that it lost its original status, because it's not considered a significant Maisa. And Rav Akiva Sava, Kipel Moil, that folding it doesn't take away its status of a beged, or Batuli bottle, and therefore, it's no longer a beged and no longer subject to Kabbalah's Tumah. Abba asked the Gemara, Alinyan Hadlaka, what is the question regarding Hadlaka, but my pligi? What is the machlaikas when we speak about if you're allowed to use such a piece of material for a wick? Answers the Gemara, Amar Abelazah, Amar Abayishya, V'chen Amar Rav Adabar Ahava, Hoch V'sholosh V'sholosh M'tzumtzomis Eskinen. We're speaking about a piece of material that was exactly 3 etzbos by 3 etzbos. And Yontov came out on Friday. And it says the Gemara, one of, as we mentioned earlier in our Shiurim, there's a machlokes throughout our Masechtas about Muksa. Rabbi Yehuda has a broader definition of Muksa than Rabbi Shimon. And the Kol Alma Islay de Rabbi Yehuda de Amar Masikim B'Kalim, a keli, a chair, a bench, you could technically use to burn, because a keli is not Muksa. They Masikim B'Shivri Kalim. But if something gets broken on Yontif, so now it's Muksa. Why is it Muksa? Because it isn't what it was originally. And the Kol Alma Islay de Ula de Amar Ula Hamadlik Tzarech Shiadlik B'Roi V'Yetzi. When you light the wick, you have to light the most of the wick that's sticking out from the oil. So now the Gemara explains the machlokes. Rabbi Elazar Sofer Kippah Ein Moel. Just folding it doesn't make it that it's not a beged anymore. The kima de edlik beipurta, but once you start burning it, havele sheva keli, it becomes a broken keli. Because kamadlik, so now when I'm using it, the sheva keli kamadli, and I'm not allowed to use a sheva keli because according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's muksa. Once I folded it before Shabbos, Erev Shabbos Yontif, it's not a beg, it's not a keli anymore. The key kamadlik was already broken before, and it didn't become muksa when I started burning it because of noilet. If you have a piece of material that's exactly 3 etzbos by 3 etzbos, there's a halacha to be learned from it. But now I understand, according to Rabbi Yehuda, once I burn it a little, it becomes a sheva keli. Once I burn it a little and becomes a sheva keli, it becomes muksa for noilad, and I'm not allowed to touch it anymore to keep on letting it get burnt, the amount that it has to be lit to be considered I lit it properly for candles. Says the Gemara, and if we're explaining our Mishnah according to Rabbi Yehuda's application of Hilchas Muksa, isn't this a raya? The Shema Minok Rabbi Yehuda Svirlei, that he agrees with Rabbi Yehuda in his application of Hilchas Muksa by Noilet, says the Gemara. O miyama Rav Adbar Ahava Hochi, does Rav Adbar Ahava indeed agree with Rabbi Yehuda? V'amar Rav Adbar Ahava, nochri shechoka kab bekas Yisrael, if a non-Jew carved out a piece of equipment from a Jewish-owned piece of wood, mesikim baba yontif. You could use it on yontif as firewood. But why? If you made it into a new keli on yontif, it's noiled. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, noiled is muksa, and I shouldn't be allowed to use it. Says the Gemara, Rav Adi Bar Hava was explaining Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Akiva's opinion in our Mishnah. With Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Akiva Kamalei, that their opinions in the Mishnah can only be explained according to Rabbi Yehuda's application of Muksa. However, he doesn't agree with Rabbi Yehuda, and he doesn't have this application of Hilchas Muksa. So here we see that it seems that you're not allowed to even touch Muksa, because if there was no issue in touching the Muksa, so even if I follow Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, it's only an issue of touching it when I light it. Says the Stipler that muksa, that's also because of noilad, is a special type of muksa, because the Torah says, v'chinu ashi yiviu. You have to prepare everything that you're going to use on Shabbos Yontov has to be prepared before. So only by the muksa of noilad is there a halacha that you're not allowed to even touch it. By other muksas, it could be that you're allowed to touch it, you're just not allowed to move it.